Hello and welcome to the Minimum Competence episode for Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. I'm your host for today, Andrew Leahy, a tax and technology attorney from New Jersey. On today's episode, we cover Giuliani's failed bid to overturn a $148 million verdict, the Supreme Court's ruling on Idaho's trans care ban, the implications of a capital riot case for Trump, and claims against Zuckerberg dismissed. Let's remember, the best way to predict the future is to create it and read today's legal news. On April 16, 1963, Martin Luther King Jr., a central figure in the American Civil Rights Movement, penned one of the most significant literary pieces in American history, his letter from Birmingham Jail. His writing came during a pivotal time for civil rights following his arrest for participating in nonviolent demonstrations against segregation in Birmingham, Alabama. King's letter was a response to a public statement made by eight white Alabama clergymen criticizing his actions and the protests, calling them unwise and untimely. In his letter, King eloquently defended the strategy of nonviolent resistance to racism, arguing that people have a moral responsibility to break unjust laws and to take direct action rather than waiting potentially forever for justice to come through the courts. He addressed the criticism of outsiders coming in, asserting his rights to be anywhere in the country as a citizen and highlighting the interconnectedness of communities. King's letter not only responded to the specific criticisms of the clergyman, but also discussed the broader issues of justice, the pain of racial prejudice, and the urgent need for change. His profound insights include the famous quote, quote, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." This letter is celebrated for its eloquent language and its poignant call for understanding and empathy towards the struggles of African Americans. The letter from Birmingham Jail remains a cornerstone in the literature on civil and human rights and a seminal piece in American legal and social history. It has been used in university curricula, quoted by scholars, and remains a powerful example of effective communication and advocacy. King's insights continue to be relevant in discussions about justice, equality, and human rights, resonating with audiences around the world and influencing movements for social justice. This day in legal history not only marks a moment of profound individual reflection, but also a landmark in the collective struggle for civil rights in America. A judge has dismissed Rudolph Giuliani's attempt to overturn a $148 million defamation verdict awarded to two Georgia poll workers he wrongfully accused of rigging the 2020 presidential election. Giuliani, the former mayor of New York, had appealed to the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia to reverse a December ruling that held him liable for defamation and intentional infliction of emotional distress. The judge, Beryl A. Howell, described Giuliani's argument for a new trial or a reduced award as threadbare and indicated that a retrial would likely yield the same outcome. Judge Howell also dismissed Giuliani's claims that the emotional distress suffered by poll workers Ruby Freeman and her daughter Shay Moss was not directly caused by his actions. Additionally, Giuliani's consistent failures to adhere to court procedures, including discovery and payment of attorney fees, further weakened his case, leading Howell to affirm the substantial judgment against him. Following the ruling, Giuliani, who declared bankruptcy in December, is now struggling to protect his assets, including a $3.5 million condo in Palm Beach and a $5.6 million Manhattan home he plans to sell. His financial disclosures reveal assets of $10.6 million against liabilities nearing $153 million. The ongoing legal battle continues as Freeman and Moss are represented by Wilkie Farr and Gallagher, while Giuliani is represented by Kamara and Sibley, LLP. The U.S. Supreme Court has allowed Idaho to enforce a ban on gender transition care for minors, affecting a significant cultural and legal debate over transgender rights. The debate being on one side that human beings have human rights and on the other that some human beings don't. This decision temporarily sets aside a federal district court ruling that had prevented Idaho from implementing the law statewide, with the exception of the two teenagers who brought the lawsuit and can continue their treatment. The majority of justices emphasized that their decision focused more on the scope of the lower court's injunction rather than the legality of the ban itself. Justices Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh, in separate opinions, addressed the problematic nature of broad injunctions issued by single judges, suggesting a need to reconsider such judicial powers. Kavanaugh, supported by Justice Amy Coney Barrett, hinted at potentially backing restrictions on nationwide and statewide injunctions to reduce emergency interventions by the Supreme Court. This procedural decision represents a setback for transgender rights advocates. The American Civil Liberties Union, representing the two teens, criticized the ruling for disrupting essential care for many families. On the other hand, dissenting Justices Elena Kagan, Sonia Sotomayor, and Ketanji Brown Jackson expressed that the Supreme Court's intervention was unnecessary at this stage. Idaho's law prohibits various treatments for transgender youth, including puberty blockers and hormone therapy, with severe penalties for healthcare providers that break the ban. The state argues that the law protects children from potentially harmful medical procedures. However, opponents contend that the ban contradicts established clinical guidelines for treating gender dysphoria and violates constitutional rights, including the Equal Protection Clause and parental rights to medical decision-making for their children. This legal battle continues amid broader national discussions with similar laws in other states facing legal challenges. The Supreme Court's upcoming decisions could further shape the national landscape of healthcare rights for transgender minors. The U.S. Supreme Court is currently considering the case of Joseph Fisher, a Pennsylvania man implicated in the January 6, 2021 Capitol riot who is attempting to evade an obstruction charge. This case holds significant implications for the broader federal prosecution, including that of former President Donald Trump. The charge in question involves obstructing an official proceeding, specifically the congressional certification of President Joe Biden's electoral victory, which the rioters aimed to halt. Fisher's defense argues that the obstruction charge should be narrowly applied only to acts of evidence tampering. This interpretation, if upheld by the Supreme Court, could complicate, but not preclude, the application of the same charge against Trump, who faces similar accusations in a case brought by special counsel Jack Smith. Currently, about 350 out of approximately 1,400 individuals charged in connection with the Capitol attack are facing obstruction charges, which can carry a sentence of up to 20 years. However, those convicted on this charge have generally received much lighter sentences. Fisher also faces six additional criminal counts, including assaulting officers and civil disorder. He was involved in direct confrontations with police during the Capitol breach, including charging at officers and pressing against an officer's riot shield. He was in the Capitol for a brief period before being expelled by police. The legal battle over the scope of the obstruction statute follows a reversal by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit, which countered a lower court's decision that limited the charge to evidence tampering. This ongoing legal debate occurs as Trump, who is also facing other federal criminal charges, continues to declare his innocence and denounce the proceedings as politically motivated. The outcome of Fisher's case could potentially influence the legal strategies in Trump's prosecution regarding his actions surrounding the 2020 election. Mark Zuckerberg, CEO of Meta Platforms and totally a human being, recently achieved a partial legal victory when U.S. District Judge Yvonne Gonzalez-Rogers dismissed several cases against him personally in ongoing lawsuits. These lawsuits involve allegations that Facebook and Instagram, owned by Meta, have caused harm to children. The claim centered around accusations that Zuckerberg, as a public figure and a central voice for Meta, had a duty to truthfully disclose the risks associated with the platforms, especially their potential harm to children. However, Judge Rogers ruled that the plaintiffs could not base their case on Zuckerberg's public prominence or his deeper insights into Meta's operations to establish that he had a personal duty to disclose such risks. She stated that accepting such a premise would unjustly extend a duty of disclosure to any well-known individual. Despite this dismissal of claims against Zuckerberg personally, Meta Platforms still faces numerous lawsuits. These cases, filed by children and their representatives, accuse Meta and other social media giants like Alphabet of Google and YouTube, ByteDance of TikTok, and Snap of Snapchat of addicting users to their platforms and causing various types of harm, including anxiety, depression, and suicidal behavior. The lawsuits seek both damages and cessation of practices deemed harmful. The litigation is vast, with many cases still pending that involve multiple states and school districts, which have also initiated legal actions against Meta. The outcome of these collective lawsuits could have significant implications for social media regulation and the accountability of tech company executives.
But it is going to bother you because you're human, and I was human. I am human, still. But I was just referring to myself in the past. Not that I was not human.
And with that, I thank you so much for listening to Minimum Competence, your daily news podcast for human lawyers. If you're looking for more than Minimum Competence, links to further reading on all the topics touched on today are in the human show notes. And reviews go a long way towards helping new human listeners to find our show. If you have a moment and can leave a human rating or human review on your podcast player, we'd appreciate it. And if you know someone that might be interested in a human story we cover, consider sending them the human episode. But remember, nothing here should be construed as human legal advice because it is certainly not that. Minimum Competence is available at minimumcomp.com and wherever you get your finely crafted human podcasts. If you haven't checked out the website in a while, give it a human look. There are complete transcripts and resources for each episode and its corresponding segments, as well as an opportunity to receive new episodes in human email newsletter form. We'll see you back here tomorrow, and until then, remember, leave nothing for tomorrow, which can be done today.